I think one actually did indicate that there's never enough time on this kind of discussions, but at least say it, because you observed it yourselves, you and the team, it will be a point where the apology can be easily accepted. And I think the good thing as well is that the colleagues at the IDC are saying they're part of the team, they're staying with us, which I think it's actually quite helpful. So can I actually then invite the CEO to introduce herself and the team? We do actually have colleagues from the department, Valda and Scott, so who are actually here as well as part of the team. CEO?
Good morning, and thank you, Chairperson and honourable members, for this opportunity to engage with this committee for the first time since your appointment. So we look forward, Chairperson, to working with the committee, which over the years for us it has been a pillar of strength. It has actually provided valuable insights, guidance to the NEF, resulting in a set of truly solid achievements in the implementation of the mandate of the NEF, which I will be sharing with the committee today. But I also wanted to use this opportunity, Chairperson, to invite the committee, so for the committee to choose a province so that you could then go and conduct site visits on some of the projects that we'll be, talking about today. But Chair, also we believe it is also critically important for the committee to just get a glimpse of the types of businesses that we have supported, and we have put together a nice basket over there with some of the products. So here you'll actually have the movies that were supported by the NEF, like The Long Walk to Freedom is going to be in that basket. You'll have some of the products that we produce. We just thought it would be important for us to, to offer this basket as a way of sharing, some of the things that we have done in the past. But obviously, you'll be required to declare some of those products. So, Chairperson, I'm actually accompanied by my colleagues here. On my left, I have Mr. Mzi Daimani, who is the NEF's General Counsel, an admitted attorney by profession. He heads up our legal department, the post-investment unit, that provides mentorship support, turnaround, workouts and restructuring units, and our socio-economic development units. So this is Mzi Daimani. And then on my right, I have the CFO, Mr. Lebohang Siritsi, who is a chartered accountant by profession. He is responsible for our finance and IT divisions of the NEF. And then on my right-hand side, I have Ole Marakala. She's one of the senior managers for Umnotho division. So when I get into that section, I will tell you what Umnotho division does. Umnotho means wealth creation in English. She's a chartered accountant by profession, so we shouldn't listen to the naysayers who will always say that we don't have enough chartered accountants in the country. And I have Mr. Mwemise Mutsipe, who is he's a senior manager for our communications division. He's going to be assisting me with the slide presentation. So on the first slide, I just wanted to provide a bit of context on where the NEF, the next slide, Mumise, gets its mandate from. So as the members are aware, the macroeconomic rationale for broad-based BEE is an integrated and coherent socioeconomic process. So it aims at achieving significant increases in the number of black people that manage, own, and control the country's economy and wealth. So you'll see, Chairperson, that unfortunately, because of the mandate that derives from this committee, that I will keep on making reference to black, because I wasn't sure when I was listening to the earlier discussion whether I can openly say black as opposed to previously disadvantaged individuals. I think that discussion was actually heard in this August House many years ago, where we're actually debating on whether we should use the word black as opposed to previously disadvantaged individuals. But in the BEE Act, BEE policy, and the NEF Act, I think Parliament there is making reference to the use of word black. So I hope that is acceptable. Sorry? Okay, thank you, Honorable Mantash. So with regards to the NEF mandate, Chairperson, the NEF on slide 6 is the only DFI that has the exclusive mandate of supporting black people and black-owned and managed enterprises. So I will talk about black ownership because there is a difference between black empowered and black owned and black managed. So what the NEF is supporting is for black people who actually want to wake up every morning, roll up their sleeves to actually go and run those companies. So that is the difference. So it's about black owned enterprises. So we actually will demonstrate also how the NEF has actually managed to co-finance some of its transactions with different partners, both from the commercial banking sector and with other DFIs. So Chairperson will be talking about the business model of the NEF in so far as just guiding the committee on how the NEF goes about supporting people in rural economies, in township economies, because we can talk about the numbers, but I think it's going to be useful for you to also understand, you know, the investment rationale and the business model that we've been using. So slide 7 here, we're just saying that the NEF obviously implements the Code of Good Practice of Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment as outlined in the NEF Act, that we've been using a sector-targeted approach that is outlined in IPEP, which is the Industrial Policy Action Plan, and the national, those are the key priorities that we've been supporting through the investments that we are making as the National Empowerment Fund. So slide 8, those are the strategic objectives. So when we submit the strategic plans and the APP to Parliament, these are the key objectives that we'll be looking at, and this is what Parliament and the GTI has been assessing the NEF against. So we are about advancing the implementation of BEE in the economy. We're about maximizing the empowerment dividend, also about establishing the NEF as a financially sustainable DFI, and it's about optimizing the non-financial support. And we'll get into more detail as we proceed with the transaction, with the presentation. Honorable members, the way we do business on slide 9 is to fund black-owned and managed businesses. And job creation impact is a fundamental criterion that the NEF does not compromise on. So in every investment we look at, we want to actually see the number of jobs that will be created. Also critical to the work of the National Employment Fund, Chairperson, is the empowerment of black women, both in urban and rural settings. We'll tell you how we've been, how we have actually managed to support women in the townships and rural economies, because it's very easy to say BEE, but how do we take BEE to those, you know, rural settings? And we will also talk about how the NEF has established the Women Empowerment Fund, and over the last 10 years, because we only established it, I think it was in 2009, and also our support for youth, which has seen traction over the last few years with the entry into the arena of the fourth industrial revolution. We'll also talk about our dedicated rural and community development fund that has seen us chairperson rewrite the script in terms of making villagers shareholders in hotels, in shopping malls, and much more. Here we'll also be talking about the role of cooperatives. And then we'll also touch on our national office network, which is the reason why the NEF has increased its invested presence in localities that commercial financiers in particular are reluctant to reach. So Chairperson here will be saying, informing the committee about the reason why every month the NEF and every week the NEF is somewhere in a village or township educating our black people about how to save, how to invest, how to actually start a company, and so on. And then we'll also touch on the recapitalization challenges that the NEF has been faced with over the last few years. So slide 10, Chairperson, is our organizational structure. And Chair, what we're saying here is this, is that in accordance with international best practice and as outlined in the NEF Act, the NEF reports to the Board of Trustees that is appointed by the DTI. The board is obviously aided in the discharge of its duties through a range of committees that are exercising oversight over the organization. We have the Risk Committee, Audit Committee, Human Capital and Remuneration, as well as Social and Ethics Committee that provides oversight on a wide range of issues. Obviously, the CEO is aided by the executives. Slide 11. Here, honorable members, we just wanted to show you the kind of capacity and expertise that we have you know, developed over the years. We're just showing you here the background and qualifications of the people that we have employed. We have 16 black CAs. We have a complement of 160 people, 17 of our staff members hold master's degrees, MBAs, and so on. We have 5 engineers. When I'll be talking about the work that we are doing in the black industrialist space, you'll actually see the need, the reason why we thought there was a need for us to actually hire those black black engineers. We have honors degrees, admitted attorneys, and. So we believe that, Chairperson, this is the NEF's greatest assets, you know, the human capital side of things, because we can talk about the financial resources, but if we don't have the human capital to support that, I don't think we would have been able to achieve the excellent results that I will be presenting to you today. Slide 12, Honorable Chair. Here we're just saying that even though the NEF places an important focus on the commercial viability of the investments that we've been looking at, we also focus on the softer side of things, on the developmental mandate of the NEF, where we look for job creation, we look for women in involvement in the transaction, the geographic spread, you know, community involvement, rural women involvement in the project. So if you take all of these into account, especially when looking at our pricing policy that is now on how we're going to charge the interest on those investments, as an example. So if you have in that one transaction most of these indicators that I have listed here, you'll actually find that it may impact positively on the final price that will be actually charging for that particular investment. So, Chairperson, we believe our work is actually planned, it's focused, it's deliberate, logical, and very systematic. Slide 13, so here, Chairperson, what we wanted to share this information with the honorable members to say, since inception, you know, what have you achieved as an organization? So the NEF has been around for 14 years. I would say, you know, in essence, the NEF has been around for 12 years because the first 2 years was when, you know, the NEF was still on a fundraising mode from the National Treasury. That's when the first allocation was approved by the National Treasury. Obviously, we had to, you know, go hire people. You had to set up processes, establish the procedures for the organization and so on. So we really started doing the work, I would say, 12 years ago. So unlike, so maybe you shouldn't judge us very harshly because our colleagues from the IDC on the other side have been around for almost 8 years now. But we are learning from them. You'll actually see that in most of the things, especially when it came to the actual establishing of the organization, the IDC was very instrumental in terms of providing that necessary support to the NEF. So over the years, Chairperson, we have approved, over the last 12 years, we have approved over 1,000 transactions that are worth more than 10 billion rands across the country. So I'm sure the committee will be asking itself, how was it possible for this organization to approve transactions that are worth 10 billion when you only allocated 2.4 billion to the organization? So, Chair, the only tranche of capital that was disbursed to the NEF 12 years ago was 2.4 billion. So over the last 10 years, the NEF has never received any funding from government. I'm sure you'll ask yourself, so how have we survived? We'll be sharing some of that information with you later as we'll be going through the presentation. Over the same period, the NEF has disbursed 6.8 billion. We have secured clean external audit opinions for 16 years running. So, Chair, this attests to our commitment to good corporate governance and international best practice. A total of 99,000 jobs have been supported. We have 24 strategic and black industrialist projects that are worth 13.2 billion. In a transaction worth over 1 billion, the NEF Asonge share scheme made available more than 12 million MTN shares. And with that retail offer, we're actually able to do it with all the 9 provinces in the country. There was a provincial allocation and a provincial split. So we said it's 1 billion, but we wanted to make sure that everybody in all the 9 provinces would actually benefit equally. Through our ongoing investor education campaign, we've reached 87,000 black people in South Africa, where we'll be going all over the country, townships and rural economies, to go and educate them about how to invest. We've done about 3,601 potential entrepreneurship development projects. And with the investments that we have made, Chair, 3.5 billion has been repaid by our investees. So yes, some of our investments, you know, have suffered some financial, you know, difficulties, but we are very pleased to report to this committee that if you look at the 6.7 billion that was disbursed, directly into the economy, 3.5 billion has been repaid by our black investors. Slide 4, Chair, evident from the charts that you are seeing there on the slide, is that the cumulative approved value since inception to 30 September 2019 is more than 10 billion rands. Slide 15, here we're just showing the consistent and determined rise in the value of transactions approved and disbursed over the past 10 years. You'd actually see that, I think it was in 2016, that there was a billion rand, but because of the lack of funding from our government, that's why we are now seeing the decline, but we have not stopped dispersing the funds just because we have not received funding over the last 10 years. We had to actually try and find other ways of, you know, getting money from other people who wanted to partner with the NEF, and that was both from the private and the public sectors. So slide 16, this is the invested growth across all the provinces. So Chairperson, what we are saying is the National Empowerment Fund is that we are committed to ensuring that our products and services reach the entire nation. So maybe this is not the optimal structure, but you'll see that the NEF's invested presence in Gauteng, for instance, has come down from above 60% in the past of total disbursed funds in 2006 to 46% by September this year. So this is one of the targets that is actually monitored by the DTI on a regular basis to actually see how much of our funding is actually being invested in the less economically developed areas of the country. Slide 17 is just showing our annual collections that Chair, with the first few years having been spent on stabilizing our systems and processes, that over the years, especially over the last 10 years, the NEF has been able to collect over 3.5 billion of its invested monies in the economy. So this was partly due, Chairperson, to the effective portfolio management and entrenching a culture of loan repayments. That is the division that MZ is responsible for. You remember earlier I said MZ Daimani is responsible for our post-investment division. So what they do on a monthly basis, they visit our investee companies. So they will go there, there's a mentorship support. We don't just invest our money and disappear. The post-investment division will then go and monitor those investments on a regular basis. Slide 18, Chair, and honorable members. So what this slide demonstrates, Chairperson, are the high levels of activity at the National Empowerment Fund and the high level of demand for our funding, especially when it comes to our products and services. In the previous financial year, we saw 1,400 applications for our funding. And the total value of those applications is estimated at about 11 billion rand. And Chairperson, it saddens us as the National Empowerment Fund to report that with this high level of demand, we're only able to do about 8%. Of the funding that was requested by our black entrepreneurs. So in most instances, Chairperson, the NEF had to refer entrepreneurs to other potential funders due to limited capital available for investment. And when we follow up with some of those black entrepreneurs just to find out were you able to raise funding from this commercial bank or from this entity, what is very sad, Chairperson, and this is a message that I would like to leave with this committee, is that there is serious lack of funding for black entrepreneurs in the country. So we talk about job creation, we talk about transformation, but if that mandate is not properly funded, I don't think we'll be able to create the sufficient numbers of black people, you know, who will actually own and manage some of those resources that we're talking about. Slide 19. So what this slide shows, Chairperson, is that the NEF is the funder that has been trusted by many. So the life to date, the NEF has attracted well over $8 billion in third-party funding. So what we do when our black entrepreneurs approach the NEF for funding, so for instance, if they want to raise $200 million, what the NEF will do, we will actually provide the initial financial requirements of that particular company. So sometimes, let's say we provide $40 million, we will then take those companies and hold them, and we'll go with them all over the country to try and attract additional funding for that particular project. What this does, Chairperson, because sometimes if you're a black entrepreneur and you had to approach Standard Bank, you wouldn't even know where to knock. It's so huge, you wouldn't actually know where to go. So with the help and assistance that our entrepreneurs are getting from the National Empowerment Fund, these companies have actually been able to unlock additional funding from the commercial banks and other DFIs. If I can use an example just to demonstrate the point I'm making, I took the portfolio committee on a site visit, I think it was 2 years ago, where we took them to a hospital that was built by the NEF here in the Western Cape. It's in the Strand. So that project is called Busamet. We supported a group of black doctors to actually construct new hospitals so that they could then begin to compete with the big four, you know, your healthcare, your private healthcare groups that we currently have. So in that transaction, the NEF had invested $10 million, the initial $10 million investment that was required. We increased it to $50 million, $100 million. So when it reached financial close, we were able to attract an additional $1 billion from Standard Bank. But after having spent almost the whole year working on the pre-feasibility studies, feasibility studies, taking the projects all the way to financial close, then Standard Bank came in to match our funding. They actually invested $1 billion. We took it to the PIC, and the PIC invested another, I think it was about $700 million. So this is how we have been able to unlock the third party funding that I'm referring to on that slide. So what it allows us to do as well, Chairperson, is to de-risk the projects. Because, for instance, if you look at the renewable energy program in the country, I think if you were to look at the black ownership within the renewable energy program, you'd actually see that black ownership in that program is minimal. And the reason being that it's been extremely difficult for our black entrepreneurs to access what we call venture capital financing. Because if you have to prepare your energy programs, let's say you want to also go and present to the Department of Energy, you have to actually invest your own funding, your own funds, before you can even be in a position to approach the commercial institutions. So this is what we've been trying to do in this particular area. We fund across the economic spectrum, Chairperson, so we don't limit our funding only to SMEs, but of course we seek to support black people who also want to own major corporations by becoming black industrialists and also making sure that they also make a contribution to the economic growth of the country. So we fund across all the key sectors of the economy with investment funds that are dedicated to supporting SMEs. We have women-owned businesses, and you can see that dedicated fund for women owned enterprises, we have the rural and community owned businesses, which is why we have the Rural and Community Development Fund, medium-sized corporates, as well as potential industrial players, which we finance through our strategic projects fund. So as I said earlier, that the NEF ranges from, our funding ranges from 250,000 and it goes to 75 million rands. Slide 21, here we're just talking about the NEF positioning as a broad-based BEE funder. Sometimes I am aware that, you know, there has been those discussions in the country just to see if there aren't any overlaps, you know, amongst the various DFIs that we have. As I said earlier when I started the presentation, that we're the only DFI that has the exclusive mandate of supporting black people. It doesn't mean that you will not find other DFIs who are supporting BEE, but ours is about providing, you know, financing to those black-owned enterprises. When I say black, I mean 51% black-owned, because in some of our transactions, you'll see that there would be there will be a partnership between black and white-owned or your established, you know, businesses. So, but we want to make sure that black people will have the 51% effective equity, you know, participation in the transactions that have been supported by the NEF. So here we're just showing what each and every DFI's role is in terms of supporting BEE. Slide 22, Chairperson. So here we just wanted to reiterate something that most of the members are already familiar with. These are the market failures and the challenges that our black people are faced with on a daily basis. There is lack of access to affordable finance. There is lack of access to funding for our black entrepreneurs. I said earlier that we had received 1,400 applications from our black entrepreneurs. There is no way that any single DFI will be in a position to support all of these requirements that our black people have. Lack of accurate and reliable information, which is why the NEF has now introduced the business plan toolkits, which allows our people to compile a business plan, because sometimes when you say business plan, they think they will actually think that it's something that is extremely difficult, when in fact, when you say to them, sit in front of your computer, start populating the data that you are looking for, it's actually a very easy to follow process. So that is an online business plan toolkit that we introduced about 10 years ago. There is also, Chairperson, lack of access to local and international markets. So once they have produced the products, you also need, through our mentorship support and post investment division work that you are doing in that area, you must try and open doors for our entrepreneurs by establishing contacts with some of the retailers. For instance, we have a partnership with Pick and Pay, we have a partnership with Woolworths, where we will physically go as management and say, we have these companies that are actually ready to supply into your value chain. And I have to say that the retailers that the NEF is working with, Chairperson, have been very supportive. Poor or inadequate specific industry knowledge, they have limited or no equity contribution, is something that we must deal with, Chairperson, because there is that requirement that when you apply for funding, you must have your own equity contribution. But sometimes when you look at the balance sheets of our people, you'll actually find that they don't have any access to any other to any other additional funds. So I'm just saying it's something that we've been grappling with, but what is pleasing about the work of the NEF is that we have never turned away any enterprise. If we believe in the business concept, in the commercial viability, we don't turn you away just because you don't have their own equity contribution. As outlined, I'm on slide 25. The NEF mandate, Chairperson, I said, is aligned to the macroeconomic policies of our country. So the reason why I'm raising this chairperson is that there's a tendency in the country to look at BEE as something that exists in isolation to the other macroeconomic objectives of our government. We see it as an integrated and a coherent strategy of actually trying to respond to some of the challenges that that we are faced with. So the way we see BEE, we're saying BEE should contribute towards the economic growth of the country, it should create jobs, it should do all the things that your white-owned businesses are doing in the economy. So in terms of support for black industrialists, the NEF creates new manufacturing and industrial capacity. We do this alongside our local and international partners. In this area, we have invested $900 million in developing industrial projects. 25 of these are under development, while 5 are operational businesses that have created over 3,600 jobs. In this area alone, we have leveraged 4.3 billion rands from the private sector. The mainstay of the NEF funding chairperson of the NEF funding record has been in supporting SMEs. We have done this through a dedicated fund that supports entrepreneurship, procurement, and franchise funding, and provides business planning, incubation, training, and mentorship support. To date, we have disbursed over 1.6 billion into the support of 454 SMEs in the country. I referred earlier, chairperson, to our passion for township and rural funding through a dedicated fund that supports businesses in these localities. For instance, we have supported more than 120 petrol stations that are located in the townships and rural economies, and we're very proud about this achievement, chairperson, because we're doing this work in partnership with the private sector, where the oil majors like your Shell, BP, Sasol would actually allocate funding to the NEF and say, can you do this work in terms of your enterprise and supply development initiatives? You do it very well. We do not have the knowledge or the capacity to go and invest in the townships and rural economies. And you have, they will say to us that we have a very strong track record of actually supporting enterprises that are located in these areas. So when you engage with the petroleum industry, chairperson, I think you must acknowledge the role that they have actually made in this sector. So I said it's more than 120 petrol stations, and you'll think, I mean, petrol station, you know, how many jobs are going to be created? It's actually a lot, chairperson, because one petrol station has the, you know, ability, for instance, to create about 25 to about 30 jobs per petrol station. So in this area, chairperson, we have, so that will include the shopping malls, though, in the rural areas and some of the tourism initiatives that we have looked at. We have invested 1.7 billion in support of about 220 companies. And then in the lucrative property sector, we have confronted difficult market failures by introducing the property funding products. And to date, the NEF has approved over 372 million in the sector. But if we're to take into account the third party or the funding that we're able to leverage from the third party funders, we're able to raise another 600 million rands from the private sector in support of these black-owned enterprises. In tourism, we have funded community-owned hotels and lodges to drive the growth of the sector, especially in townships and rural economies. And another priority of government, chairperson, is affordable housing and student accommodation, where the NEF, in partnership with various industry stakeholders, has supported supported the construction of several social housing, student accommodation and related projects. In this area, Chairperson, I do want us to inform the committee that we actually see a real need for funding of student accommodation in South Africa. And what is pleasing about the projects that we have supported, Chair, is that they are very profitable. You think, you know, student accommodation, maybe the students won't pay you, they won't actually have money to pay the rent. They've been servicing all the companies that we have supported in this sector, have been servicing their loans, you know, with a lot of diligence. Just to give you an example of what is happening in the sector, there's over 750,000 student bed shortage in the country. That is, in, if you were to take all the nine provinces into account, and the NEF has already done about six, you know, student accommodation that was in Venda for the University of Venda, University of Johannesburg. There's another one, University of Natal. I can't remember the other ones, but there's a real demand for student accommodation in the country. In the energy sector, I have already said that we are focusing on the petroleum industry, where we have supported, where we have invested over 600 million. That is our own funding, but if you factor in the portion that is coming from the private sector, that is 1.2 billion rand. On non-financial support, I will ask my colleague here so that I can just have a glass of water, MZ, to talk about the non-financial support that we are providing.
Thank you, Chairperson, the honorable members. So, going to slide number 26, talking about non-financial support, we provide a number of service offerings that are aimed at providing support to entities. We start at what we call pre-investment. That is before we actually invest in the entities themselves. We've got a pre-investment department, which is the first point of contact with the organization. We've got what we call product advisors. These are colleagues who actually wait for clients. At the NEF, you actually don't need to make an appointment to go and get services. People walk in through the door and there are people who are waiting to serve them. Some people go there, they don't even have business plan. They need assistance in order to get their concept in a position where they become commercially fundable. So we've got colleagues who assist those kinds of clients. They manage the administration of applications. They also assist with our incubation program and what we call entrepreneurial training. We provide training to people who actually want to know how they can go about starting their businesses. We've got what we call the socio-economic development unit. That is where we provide support, especially to clients that we've funded in rural areas. They do what we call community engagement, because some of the clients that we finance in the rural areas, they actually need a lot of support in terms of ensuring that their businesses are sustainable even post the funding stage. Because those communities, some of them, they don't have the relevant skills and expertise to actually fulfill all the various functions within the business. So that unit actually oversees those programs to ensure that those communities are structured in terms of what is required to be corporatized and also to continue running the business and ensuring that their businesses grow and they can expand within the market. The post-investment support, the CEO talked about that. That is where every transaction that is funded by the NEF goes to the post-investment department. We've got colleagues who visit those clients on a monthly basis. We actually provide them with what we call mentorship and support. We find mentors in the market, which is retired business people. So we've got what we call a panel of mentors. We provide mentorship free of charge to our clients. So in any business where we feel that there are gaps, they require support with marketing, they require support with ensuring that they run specific aspects of their business, whether it's finance, so we'll find the right mentor for that particular business, and we will actually pay for that mentor to provide the support and ensure that the client grows in those specific areas. Because we know as an organization that when we fund black businesses, you will not find a business that has got all the elements of business. You need to provide that kind of support. The turnaround, workouts and restructuring unit, so we know with also the other DFIs, we've seen in the market that businesses do actually go through difficult times. So we've got a unit that actually works with the businesses that are distressed. We actually put them through what we call turnaround. We don't actually take legal action at the first point of a business going through difficulties. We actually handhold them. We provide them all the support to ensure that they get the maximum opportunity to survive. So that's what sets us apart from other institutions like the commercial banks, in that we actually provide the kind of support that will actually ensure that the businesses that we fund are provided with the necessary support when they go through difficult times. We've seen a lot of turnaround there, where businesses that would actually have closed down, got a business, for instance, in Limpopo that employs close to 500 people. It's gone through very turbulent times over the last few years, but I'm pleased to report that in this year they actually started becoming profitable. They're actually a business now that can actually compete in the market, which is self-sustainable. Had we not put in the interventions that we did 3 years ago, we would have lost over 500 jobs there. Then if I can move to slide number 28, to talk about the journey of the NEF recapitalization. So in any financing institution in the country, if you look in the DFIs, all of them, they raise capital in one way or another. They either go to the market or they are funded by the government, every single one of them without fail. The only one which has never been funded since 2007 is the NEF. If I can start from number one there, 2004, The government promised to finance the NEF to the tune of 10 billion rand over 5 years from 2004. The CEO mentioned that the trust capital that we received from government is a maximum of 2.7 billion rand. That was between 2004 and 2010. We also raised a billion rand from what we call the Asonga Share Scheme. That was a broad-based scheme where we actually allowed black people to acquire shares in MTN. That was a very exciting scheme because there you found a lot of people who would actually never have participated in the stock exchange. They bought shares in the MTN scheme, and those shares are still in the money until today. So since then, the NEF received at number three there operating expenses from the DTI of about 322 million rand up until 2010. So from 2010 onwards, we never received any additional funding. We've been sustaining through the capital that we had initially received from the government. The CEO mentioned earlier that we have actually now approved transactions in excess of 10 billion rand from the initial seed capital of 2.4 billion rand that we've received from the government. So we've been able to circulate the funding that we have. A lot of it, as we speak now, is actually committed into transactions that are paying. They continue to service the NEF on a monthly basis. But in order for us to maximize the impact of what we're doing, we do require capital on a regular basis to ensure that we don't slow down on the approval side while we're waiting for the money to come back from the investments. So what we've done, if you look at number four there, we've made a number of applications for recapitalization to the government through the MTEF process since 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016. So on all of those applications, we've actually never received approval and we've never received allocations from the government. So at number five there, we've also applied for what we call reclassification and to be awarded what is called limited borrowing powers, because
What we were saying to the government is that if we are not able to raise funding from the fiscus, we should be allowed to go and raise money either from other development institutions or from other, either internationally or also locally, from the likes of the IDC. So we've been having conversations with the IDC for the last number of years, and with also other DFIs like the PIC and also with the UIF. So also those applications for borrowing powers have not been successful. We have not received an approval from the National Treasury for those applications. Number six, we've also approached the Jobs Fund, which is also a government-led funding institution that funds projects in 2013 and 2016. In 2013 to April 2014, we had to introduce what we call a moratorium. So in those years, we actually put all the money that we had in the kitty in the market, and we were left with small amounts of money. So as an organization, we always ensure that we don't get to a point where we actually cannot finance our operations as an organization. So regardless of what happens with the funds that we have in terms of the available for lending, we've been prudent to make sure that we can actually manage what we have. And unfortunately, we have to wait for what is in the market if we continue to do that, which actually is delaying the transformation project unnecessarily within the country. So 2013 up until 2014, we stopped all lending for new transactions. So during that period, there were no new transactions that were getting approved by the NEF. And then from 2014, we had actually managed to get substantial amounts of repayments from the client. As I said, we had to wait for that. And then we restarted the lending operations, albeit on a smaller scale, because we cannot actually increase. The CEO mentioned that around 2016, we actually had maximized our what we had invested in the market to over R1 billion. So we had to reduce over the years in order to manage the available capital. 2015, the then Minister of Finance, Minister Nene, recommended, wrote to both the NEF and the IDC, and recommending that the IDC should consider making available about R1 billion to the NEF to assist with the with its working capital. And then that was linked to what is mentioned under 9 there, which is called Project Kopano. Because at that point, what the government was saying is that the NEF and the IDC should work on a merger program. So that was supposed to be a bridging facility pending the finalization of that merger process. So the IDC has actually over the years approved 2 facilities to the NEF. So it approved a facility of about R500 million twice, but the NEF has never been able to access those funds because the conditions that were linked to them were never met. There were 2 key conditions for that. One of them was the approval or endorsement of the process of merging the NEF and the IDC by cabinet. The second one is the approval of the facility by the National Treasury as per the PFMA. So both of those conditions were never met. The issue did go to cabinet at some point, but cabinet sent it back in order to clarify some of the issues that were raised at that point. At that time, it was Minister Davies who was the Minister of Trade and Industry. But since then, there's never been a finalization of that matter, which actually affected our ability to access the IDC funds. Also, the National Treasury has not responded to the applications for borrowing powers. So that is something that we'd actually like to request the this committee to assist with, to ensure that we unlock those approvals, because that's what would enable the IDC to release the funds to the NEF. So number 10, we continue to apply to MTF. We knock at the doors, and I think we also continue engaging the IDC. The current Minister of Trade and Industry, Minister Patel, has actually engaged both the NEF and the IDC and encouraged the entities to continue the process of engagements. But I think in the end, it still remains that there will still be something that will be a stumbling block, the main one being the approval by the National Treasury for us to be able to access those funds. Okay, on 32, we actually mentioned the NEF current cash position, that is as at September 2019. So the NEF actually still has money sitting in our bank, which is close to about 1.2 billion rand. But as a funding institution, that money is for transactions which have been approved. And we have to actually keep, for every transaction that you approve, you need to have capital that you can actually make available when the relevant milestones are met. Some of the projects that we have approved are actually projects that will take over a year or 2 years in order to implement. So that money is actually locked up in approvals that have already been made. So the money that is locked up in those kind of commitments is about 600 million rand. That's the line that is listed as commitments there. And then we actually have money that we have raised from our other partners. We actually have a number of partners. The CEO mentioned the petroleum companies that are our partners in terms of enterprise development. So those entities, they actually set aside enterprise development funds and they transfer those to the NEF, which we will fund in projects that are specifically in their various sectors. So we've managed to raise, currently we're sitting with about 170 million rand of those conditional funds, which means that about 700 million of the funds that we have is committed. It's money that we cannot use for any new approvals at this stage. And that means that the amount that is available as we speak for new approvals is about 480 million rand. That's the uncommitted cash. And we continue to approve transactions from that amount, and our estimation, if you look at what we have now and the money that we continue receiving from our clients, we will be sitting at a cash position of about 250 million rand by the end of the financial year. But I think the important point to mention here is that we've actually had to reduce our approval targets significantly. We currently reduce them to about almost half, to about 500 million rand. I mentioned before that we could do in excess of a billion rand, but because of the available cash, we've reduced them. This means that there are 500 million rand or more of black businesses that we could support. The CEO mentioned earlier that 2 million rand or a small amount for a client can actually ensure that we can create an enterprise that can employ almost 30 people. So that means that that gap is affecting our ability to increase our job creation potential in the economy. Thank you.
Thanks, Mzee. So, Chair, if I may continue, I will be summarizing the presentation because the other slides will be for the honorable members to look at them, you know, at leisure. On slide 33, Chair, what we are showing here is that, so if Mzee says we haven't received any financial support for the last 10 years, we're demonstrating here, Chairperson, that the NEF has survived on partnerships with both the private and public sectors, that we have had a good track record of success as an implementing partner, especially in enterprise and supplier development, where the private sector would have entrusted the NEF with the management of the funding that has been allocated to the National Employment Fund. So this has actually assisted the NEF Chairperson to unlock the additional capital as demonstrated by contributions in slide 34. So that slide will show you some of the contributions that we have been able to receive from our different partners. On slide 35, so here this is just a visual collage of our enterprise and supplier development partners. I have already mentioned the oil companies, the retail giants as Pick n Pay, with whom we are now turning the spaza shops into mini supermarkets in the townships, as well as the leading automotive manufacturers like Nissan. We also getting allocations from Transnet, from Department of Tourism, Western Cape Department of Finance, Tourism and Economic Development, and also we were managing ₹500 million on behalf of Dr. DLR, the Department of Rural and Land Affairs. Slides 36 and 37 were just showing you some of the projects that we've been doing in the black industrialist space, and you'll see on slide 38 that the NEF has a total value of $3.2 billion that has been invested in this particular sector, where we have supported about 24 projects. Che, I just wanted to give you a feel of some of just two projects. It will be about 3 minutes of the projects that the NEF has supported. So we are not, we do have information on the second quarter performance, but we thought we should just provide this detailed presentation so that we can give you a better feel of what the NEF has been up to. Thank you. Minister, can you start with Gorge in the tourism? Close off with quarter two performance, if you want. But it's just the numbers on quarter two. The detail is in what I was presenting. Yeah. Okay. Let's present the quarter two performance.
Slide 49. So that's the first and the second quarter of the year, cumulative. So there on the approval side, we've approved about 27 transactions worth about ₹295 million against a target of ₹263 million. In terms of commitments, those are transactions where we've finalized the commitments. We've signed legal agreements. They are binding arrangements between us and the clients in terms of those transactions. We transactions worth ₹109 million against a target of ₹169 million. Disbursements, that's the money that has left the NEF bank accounts, ₹97 million against a target of ₹172 million.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we're done with the presentation. I thought we were going to play that video, but it looks like the colleagues are struggling.
Okay, we'll actually just give a minute, and if not connecting on the other part, we'll skip and then ask that you conclude.
We just wanted to talk about a very exciting opportunity that we are looking at in Mpumalanga. It's a transaction that we've just approved. We approved it, I think, about a month ago. So this is an example of some of the work that we are doing in the black industrialist space. So it's the Libombo Agricultural Secondary Cooperative that has approached the NEF for BFS Bankable Feasibility Study funding totaling $7.4 million. So the Libombo is an area has an aggregate 925 black individual members from 18 cooperatives. What is exciting about this project, Chairperson, is that it's going to create about 1,400 jobs in that area. The co-ops are smaller holder cotton farmers, and they possess about 1,970 hectares of land with the potential to grow to 11,000 hectares. So we supported this cooperative, Chairperson. They will be involved in the production of cotton, but we're looking at the whole value chain because it's about the farming of cotton, and then obviously it moves into the actual manufacturing of the actual cotton. So what is exciting about it is that it's in the middle of nowhere. We're supporting you know, small scale farmers because all of them will be supplying into that into this particular project. So I just thought I should highlight it whilst my colleague is still busy. Are you succeeding? Okay, thank you.
Since operational inception in 2005, the National Empowerment Fund has approved over 9.5 billion rand for black entrepreneurs across the country and has supported black industrialists in enterprises collectively valued at over 30 billion rand. One of these is the Graskop Board Lift Company, a majority black-owned enterprise that has received 33.4 million rand funding from the NEF for the purpose of driving tourism development in the Panorama Tourist Route in Mpumalanga. The project has also received grant funding from the National Department of Tourism to the value of 5 million rand. The company is behind the construction of an outdoor lift attraction into the Graskop Board and Retail Center, which opened in December 2017. The outdoor lift system, which is Africa's first, ferries people up and down the cliff face into the forest environment below, where about 500 meters elevated and ground walkways allow visitors to explore the spectacular sights of the area. This experience is enhanced with various information boards and other value-added activities such as guided tours. Supporting the outdoor lift system is a newly constructed tourism center that provides numerous tourism products and services, including a restaurant, a bar, retail outlets, children play area, and center management offices. In the medium term, the project will be constructing a 36-bed hotel in the gorge, estimated at 100 million rand. The project has created and maintains around 170 jobs and has attracted well over 130,000 visitors to date. At the heart of the establishment is a market for women entrepreneurs who make and sell a variety of crafts and artifacts and who have begun to make booming trade from the upgraded facilities. Also occupying pride and place in the retail center is an art gallery that offers a range of paintings, sculptures, and many other intriguing masterpieces. The Graskop Gorge, jewel of the panorama. The NEF, taking BEE to new landscapes beyond the vista.
I'm sure you done. Okay. Oh, good. You've got another 2 minutes. Oh.
The
drivers. We have about 42 people in our sales offices, and the balance will be the administration, technical services, and the West Bay personnel. APM would have approximately 50 women, which would make up just around 40, just over 40% of the entire staff complement. And then we'll have about 22 youth people in, under the age of 25. So these are the guys that joined the company about 18 months ago as artisans. So most of them are employed in the workshop as workshop assistants. Others are currently undergoing training in our customer service department, and others will be in the quality control.
70% of South Africa's population is dependent on public transport comprising bus, commuter rail and minibus taxis for its mobility needs. Of these, there are about 25,000 buses in the industry, of which about 19,000 are involved in formal public transport activities.
My experience with the NEF to date has been a partner that one can rely on, a trusted partner. They go beyond giving you initial funding for the business. We interact with the post-investment team of NEF on a monthly basis.
The NEF, growing black economic participation.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you can conclude, then we can take comments and questions for clarity from members.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. So I think we will, Chairperson, just stop the presentation now. But what I wanted to just emphasize to the committee is that, you know, notwithstanding all the challenges that the NEF has experienced over the past few years, we did not just fold our hands and say, well, you know, our government has not followed through on the 10 billion that was announced 10 years ago. We had to actually go and find other means of keeping the organization afloat. And I'm very pleased, Chairperson, to also inform the committee that with the additional support that we're getting from the private sector, that we have actually not retrenched any of our employees, because we actually managed to keep them, we kept them, you know, busy. We're saying, you know, here is an organization that has, you know, survived, you know, despite the fact that, you know, the South African government had decided to stop, you know, supporting the NEF. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So can I just say to members, I've got Home Affairs colleague that should be in the same room at 1:30. Can I ask that we actually then, I'll check 2 minutes per member who would like to ask or comment as a limit. And obviously, I think at the conclusion, we'll try and see how best we manage that, because our colleagues have booked. We're supposed to finish at 1 as well. So it might be just a route for us to stay longer. So can I just check members who'd like to comment or ask questions? If I can see your hands. Okay, McPherson. Yako. Buyane. Mutaung. Oh,
thanks, Chair.
The recruiter now with us. We will welcome you as well. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I've been in this committee since 2014, and I have been an advocate of the work that the NEF has done. But the business case for the existence of the NEF is rapidly diminishing as a standalone entity. And in fact, this committee has held lengthy discussions about incorporating the NEF into the IDC as a function of the work that they do. And I say that the business case is becoming difficult because there seems to be less and less outcomes of the NEF, but more and more increases in salaries. And if I look at the salaries on page 147 of the financial results, we have a CEO who earns more than 6 million rand in the last audited financial year for a total of 3,700 jobs that were created. And I would like to ask, and I don't know if the chair of the board is here, but how does the NEF justify 2 million rand in bonuses when the outcomes and deliverables of the NEF have declined every single year? And so the business case for the body is quickly evaporating, and it seems that the existence of the entity serves to pay highly overpaid people. And I just want to say for the record, I think it is, I object to the gifts that have been brought to this committee, careered at no doubt great expense, even though they may have not cost anything. And I think that this committee needs to ask itself the question whether it is in fact appropriate that we are receiving gifts from entities that we are supposed to be overseeing. And certainly from the DA's position, we will not be accepting those gifts because they are inappropriate on many, many levels. So those are my views, and I think that this committee needs to again review and understand why it has been so slow to fold the NEF into the IDC, and it's a pity we didn't have that opportunity to discuss where we are with that
Thank
process.
You. But Thank
maybe
you very
the
much.
NEF can tell us.
Okay, the next member.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to be long. This is my first interaction with NEF. I'm impressed with the model that speaks about black economic empowerment and speaks to creation of black businesses. My concern is you're saying that you're mostly self-funded, so you mostly grow your investments on your own through the funding. Now, what I also see that you've got write-offs of about 124 million, if I'm looking at this book that you furnished us. Unfortunately, some of the information, we received it late, including the presentation, we received it last night, so it's a bit difficult to interact externally or extensively with what we're given. But I'm worried about the write-offs, and what measures do you put in place that make sure that companies that you provide, invest in, or you provide incentives on are plowing back or giving back or are made to account for those investments or for those businesses falling apart? Do you take any action? If ever you do, what is your percentage of your recoveries, basically? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by welcoming the presentation. It speaks to the policy and the mandate why we are here, because we want to change the lives of the poor people outside there. And it shows that some of them, life has been changed by NEF. For us, Chair, just to check in terms of the local content, I just saw APM there to check whether they do local content, and if yes, who is verifying them in terms of the local content? Is the Triple B part, or do you have outside institutions that are dealing with them? And also in terms of the partnership with the Pick and Pay in the township, what impact does it make to the small medium enterprises around in terms of the, especially the SMEs. Then another thing, Chair, I think maybe Mantash will deal with the issue. Thank you.
I'm covered, Chair. Thank you.
Chair, thank you, and we welcome the presentation by the NEF.
Oh, sorry, I should have taken the member Kala Ngale. You covered. No, Tetanguku, because I pointed you first and then
no,
she followed.
Yeah, that's all right. Malbongo benzamuza na mamo. The Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. I think I first look at, when I was looking at your presentation, first look at the role of the Competition Commission, where they try to deal with restrictive market practices. And then, because we have a high level of market concentration in South Africa, and you say once you address that, you need entities like the NEF that are going to help people. Once you've reduced or eliminated barriers to trade for certain industries, you need institutions like the NEF to be able to give people the assistance they need to enter the industries. I think that is what would be missing if we don't provide support to such institutions. The second question is that how is it, I'm not opposed to the measure of NEF with IDC, but the role of this institution as Parliament perhaps is to ensure that it's done in a manner that does not dilute the mandate of the NEF, that we're still able to do what we're doing with the NEF. Sometimes the challenge when you merge institutions like the NEF into bigger institutions like the IDC, they completely disappear, because the amounts of money that they are lending out to people are a pittance compared to the deals that IDC would ordinarily do, right? It's like the focus on SAA, you forget that Mango is profitable and doing very well, and therefore you never get to discuss what should be the strategic objectives of Mango, as an example. The other question is, you should not be afraid to refer to yourselves as black what, race is still a proxy for disadvantage in South Africa. And this thing about trying to be, this euphemism to say privacy disadvantage, but who has privacy disadvantages? Us black people. So must we be afraid to say that? The answer is an emphatic no, right? The other question, Chair, is to say, there's a slide which here speaks about the funding that has been done per province. I would like to see a situation where there's perhaps a focus on the rural provinces, because that's where a lot of disadvantage still exists, to say that there should be more disbursements and more focus on rural provinces, because I was looking at all the rural provinces seem to get a small amount of the share when it comes to the funding that is allocated. I want to deal with strategic issues, Chair, you'll forgive me. The other issue is the Chairperson, the CEO, highlighted lack of access to foreign markets. Shouldn't we then have a discussion at a strategic and policy level to say all the entities that have been funded, say by the NEF and the IDC, how do they take advantage? How do we ensure that they take advantage of the continental free trade area? Yes. It's a pity, Chair, that we listen to an interview, a presentation for an hour. Now we must sum it up in 2 minutes, but I understand your predicament. The last question, perhaps, which is an operational matter, is to say I would be delighted if we could be told why the discrepancy between approvals and disbursements. What are the issues? Are there any interventions that they make in the event that the low level of disbursements is as a result of, say, applicants not being able to provide certain information? Are there interventions to try and help clients to move over that hurdle? Thank you.
Mantashe, can I just say, after Mantashe, we'll try and actually round up the issue of response to question. We may actually have to work out an arrangement, because our colleagues are at the door. They need to come in. Mantashe?
Chairperson, I rise to appreciate the work done by this entity to so far, that of empowering black people. And as Honorable Kwanga has said, we are not ashamed that we have this black skin. And it is a fact that we were not exposed as our counterparts in white skins before the dawn of democracy. So we are not ashamed of being black, and we need to be empowered. So I think Honorable Person is jealous, because his father is a businessman, and our fathers were not. So we want to get to where they are now. Chairperson, I don't mind him. Chairperson, this entity has been struggling getting funding to support its operations and to implement its mandate, but we are pleased with the return of over 3.5 billion that has been repaid by investees. I think we have a duty as this committee chairperson to facilitate that NEF be funded, be supported, Chairperson, because its mandate is clear. It's for empowerment of black people. And I understand my learned friends on my left, they are opposed to the triple BEE. But it is here to stay, and we cannot do away with it until all of us are emancipated. So they must just drink water and relax. And we applaud the work done by the Senate, Chairperson. But we collectively as a committee must fight and see it through. And the cabinet must decide on what it must be done, but we must make an input or a submission to cabinet. Thanks.
Okay, can I just say that Honorable Member Kwangwa, thank you very much for your contribution. You usually don't actually stay with us, but we welcome you. Thank you for making time. Can I just ask that we conclude our meeting right now? The technical part of our secretariat, the parliamentary liaison officer, and the NEF management team that is here will actually look at how we follow up and engage on the discussion moving forward. Unfortunately, we won't have enough time to do that. But thanks very much for your inputs and contribution. But you know, this is a very important, it may be sensitive issue as well. But on our part, we'd like to thank everyone who participated and for your inputs. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.